you're listening live right now, you're listening on the radio, listen to me very carefully. Is your heart overwhelmed? There is only one cure for an overwhelmed heart, and that's the rock of our salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. He will restore your heart. He's a specialist in broken hearts. Amen?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and once again, we welcome you. Let's get right into the study today and join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to his message from the book of Psalms, Wait and Trust. Now, Pastor.
Do you know why? I was thinking yesterday. I did a lot of thinking yesterday. That gets you in trouble. I was thinking about what I'm getting ready to ask you. Or to tell you, I was thinking about the times that I was discouraged, horribly discouraged in my life, or when I felt hopeless, like I just didn't have it. And I started questioning myself about that. And I said to myself, Bill, what was the reason that you lost hope? I mean, that's a very important question. Maybe that's you. You've lost hope this morning. Well, the reason that we lose hope, well, the reason I lost hope was because I quit waiting on God. I took matters into my own hands. I quit waiting for God's answer. And you know what happened? I mean, I stopped waiting. I got ahead of God. You get ahead of God, you're going to be discouraged because you're not where God wants you to be. God says, if I want you to wait, you need to wait because the timing is not now. Wait and trust me. If you do that, you will always have the victory, loved one. And I'm not saying it's easy, but if you don't want to do that, you're going to end up being discouraged because you're not going to be where God wants you to be. There's a little poem I have in my office. I don't know who said it, but I've had it all these years. I'm going to repeat it right here. It says this, I said, meaning someone like me, I said, well, God, let me walk in the fields. But God said, no, walk in the town. And I said, oh, Lord, there are no flowers in the town. And God said, no, there are no flowers in the town, but there's a crown. When you are where God wants you to be, you wait on God, you trust God. And whatever the timing is, God says, don't go over there. You're going to be discouraged. Oh, you may think, oh, that's great. I'm enjoying it. But you won't be fulfilled. You wait on God or you'll be discouraged, loved one. And he says in verse 6 again, God, he only is my rock. He only is my salvation. He is only my defense. I shall not be shaken. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and the refuge is in God. And my refuge is in God. Now, I want to say something to you. I hope you see the power in verse 6. Man, that's where you want to live. That is so powerful. Look at David's focus. Reread that later and just look at his focus. You know what David just said to every person who reads verse 6? He wants every person to know that my entire life, everything that I am, 24/7 revolves around God and not anyone else. You have to ask a question now. I asked it to me yesterday. Is that true of me, Bill? Is that true of you? Very, very important. Listen, Jesus is our only refuge, loved one. And you are secure as long as you're with him. Amen? As long as you're doing what he wants to do. And then what does David do? Watch this. He now, in this incredible psalm, he is going to instruct the saints of all ages. He's going to say, I want you to do what I do. Look at verse 8. Trust in him sometimes. Trust in him at all times. Now I'm going to stop again because I asked myself a question yesterday. And I'm going to ask you the same question. I ask myself, Bill, how much time do you spend not trusting God? Ask yourself that question. Be honest with yourself. How much time do you spend not trusting in the promises of God, not waiting upon the Lord? It says, David says, trust in God at all times, all times. Man, listen, that means good times. That means bad times, sad times, when you have a lot of money, when you don't have a lot of money, when you lose your job, when you're in sickness. Trust in Him at all times, when you're in despair, when you're lonely, failure, when you're empty, when your life falls apart. Trust Him in your life and trust Him at the end of your life. Amen. At that last sunset, trust in Him. Trust in God 24/7. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He, God, will direct your path. I need God to direct my path. Remember what that Hebrew word direct means? It means to make smooth or to make level. Now listen, let God define smooth and level. I say that every time I quote that scripture. In other words, well, you may be saying, Lord, I'm going uphill. This is killing me. He says, no, that's level. You need to be going uphill right now. I'm getting you out of your problem. You've turned it over to the Lord. Listen, you are going to do something today and the rest of this year. And if the Lord tarries, next year as well. You're going to put your trust in something. You're going to put your trust in someone. And whatever you trust in is what you believe in. And there's no way around it. I asked myself a question yesterday. I stopped right there, trust in the Lord at all times. And I said to myself, what is my true view of Scripture? And I said, Bill, do you have a low view of God's Word? Do you have a lower view of Scripture than your Savior? That's a challenge, isn't it? You say, well, Bill, what do you mean by that? Well, what did Jesus say about Scripture? In His high priestly prayer in John 17:17, Jesus said, oh God, Thy Word is what? Truth. Jesus said, the entire Word of God is truth. God cannot lie. Every word of God is true. Amen? What did Jesus tell the devil when he was there in the garden at the temptation scene in Matthew 4:4? He said to the devil, it is written. He's using a scripture from Deuteronomy, by the way. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? Well, we don't want to have a lower view than Jesus, do we? We want to have Jesus' view of Scripture. Or a lower view of our whatever we thought. No, listen to me. God just said something to do. You know, this is not David speaking. It's David speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God says in His Word, look at that. He says, pour out your heart before Me. Why? Well, God is a refuge. He's a shelter from danger for us. And then He says again, Selah. Pause, ponder what was just said, and that's a good verse to meditate upon, loved one. Now listen, if we are to pour, and God wants us to pour out our heart before Him, well, that means we have to be before Him. That means that we have to be in a place of prayer. We have to be at the throne of grace. We have to be seeking things above. We have to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen? So we have to be that kind of people that we do that, and we pour out our heart to God. Listen, do you believe it's okay to pour out your heart to God? Does God know everything in your heart? Well, I can't tell God that. Really? Well, He already knows it. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows every fear. He knows everything, and He loves you. God is our Father. Can I tell you something about God? If you learn this, it'll change your way of thinking about God, our Father. Who is in heaven, who sent His only begotten Son to die and take our place on the cross. Loved one, listen to me. Do you know that whatever affects you mentally, physically, spiritually, affects your Father? It affects Him. Can I even say it even bothers Him? Listen, if you're a dad, a human dad, and your kid has a problem, does it hurt you? Are you concerned? Are you wanting to help? Of course you are. Well, how much more God our Father? See, He is so concerned about everything that's going on in your life. And He wants you to pour out your heart. Just give it to Me, He says. No wonder Peter. What did Peter tell us in 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your what? Care. All your hurt, all your anxiety, every worry, every fear, every unknown, just give it to me, God says. Throw your whole life and all the problems that you're facing. I want them. It's hurting you, and I don't want it to hurt you. I don't want your heart to be like that. I don't want your mind to be filled with worry all the time. Just give it to me. Casting all your care upon him. Why? He cares for you. He cares for you. No religion in the world except Christianity says that God, only God cares for his children. Only God. No other than those false gods. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. Why? Well, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen, God loves you. And his love is unchangeable. Yeah, but Bill, you don't know the trouble I'm in. I'm failing so bad. I said, God loves you. Listen to me. You don't have the ability to ever change God's love, no matter what you have done in your life. Do you understand that? He loves you. I told a person the other day, and we're talking about the love of God, and I said, you can be down right now at that bar on the down 28th Street, sitting on the last row, listen to, what's that, George Jones? God, that's hell right there. And he knows you've fallen away, and he says, I love you. I love you. I want you. You get out of that pig pen. Come on home. And I will clean you up. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to destroy you. I bought you with my own son. That's how much worth he places on you. Boy, and I said, God, you're so good. There's not anyone like you, oh God. Now look what David does in this incredible psalm. In the next verse, in verse 9, what does David do? He takes us from the security of trusting in God, waiting on God, to the insecurity of trusting in man. How can we trust in man? Fallen man, do they trust the lies? Yes. Look what he says. Surely men of low degree, okay, lowborn in other words. Look what he says. Well, they're a vapor. Let me give you another translation. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind. Isn't that good? Men of high degree, well, they're a lie. Let me give you the New Living Translation. Yeah, the powerful, they're not what they appear to be. In other words, they're a delusion. If they weighed, these men, man, if they weighed on the scales, watch this, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Let me give you another translation. If weighed, they are so insignificant, the scale would not even move. Here's the New Berkeley Version. Yeah, they are lighter than emptiness. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this a very ugly view of mankind? It is, isn't it? But here's what you need to put in your heart. Is this a biblical view? Yeah, absolutely, and you need to do that. You know what Job said about man? Job says that men drink iniquity like water. Wow. That man drinks, I think it's Job 15, I'm not for sure. It drinks iniquity like water. Listen, we can't trust in man. We can only trust in God. That's what David is saying. Why? Man cannot provide your true security. Mankind can never provide the true peace, refuge. Only God can do that. Now listen, this verse is so important. And if you believe this verse and practice this verse, it will save you from 1,000 woes in your life. You know, I preached at a pastor's conference a few years back. They asked me to teach on 10 things that every pastor should know. Number 10 was this: love never fails. Love everyone, but trust no one. That's what David is saying right here. Love one, listen to me now. Every Christian and every pastor in this nation, and of course the world, but here, they should only point the individual that they're speaking with to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't ever point to man. Don't do that. Point people to Jesus. Listen, pastors are not gods. You know what I mean? I mean, there are lift pastors up today. It's kind of sickening, isn't it? I mean, we're men. You know, dear God, don't look at me. I point you to Christ. I don't point you to this place, to me. Amen? You know, J. Vernon McGee said something very important. He's home with the Lord now. He said, the first thing a new Christian must learn, the first thing, not to look to man, but to look to God. What a true word. You know, the Bible teaches us that it's better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in a man. Amen? Oh, listen. Look at verse 10. Do not trust in oppression. In other words, don't make your living by ripping people off, nor vainly hope in robbery. Don't be a thief. You know, it says, if riches increase, hallelujah, do not set your heart on them. What is he saying? Don't trust the material. Don't trust money. Don't set your heart on that. Set your heart on things that are above. Amen? You know what the Bible says about riches? It says in Proverbs 23:5, and let me back up. There's nothing wrong with having riches, as long as you don't love them. Amen? Okay. It says, Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches, they certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. You know, when you study out the New Testament, remember what Paul said about money? You know, not to love money and all that. And 1 Timothy 6:7, you know, he says, listen, it's certain. You're not going to take anything out of this world. Amen? You're going to go out the same way you came in. You can't take your home. You can't take money. You can't take anything. Although I did read the other day, a guy was buried with his dog, but the dog was dead too. But I mean, okay, you took the dog with you. Okay. But listen, you can't do that. What did Paul tell about people who do have money? He commanded them in 1 Timothy 6:17. He commanded them. He says, listen, don't trust in uncertain riches. Riches are very uncertain, but trust in the living God. In other words, trust in the one who is certain. Amen? Now, look at verse 11. God has spoken once, David says, but he goes, but twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs love or unfailing love or mercy, for you reward to each one according to his work. That's talking about the judgment, loved one. So the first thing that David heard, and he heard it twice from God, was that all power belongs to God. Doesn't belong to King David, doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And I tell you what, we better trust in the one who has all power. Amen? Is anything too hard for God? Luke 1:37, what did the angel was telling Mary? He said, listen, nothing will be impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 59:16, I will sing of your power. I will sing aloud of your mercy, because they're my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. Job said, Job 41:1, Job said, Lord, I know that you can do anything. Do you believe that? That's trust. I know that you can do anything. And he goes on, he says, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Well, now there's a biblical worldview to have. My God can do anything. He'll never let me down. He'll never forsake me. He's never going to relax his hold upon me. He will never leave me without support. Amen? That's exactly right. Loved one, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We need to be praying for the president. I'm telling you, we need to pray for Congress. They need to know that all power, who it really belongs to, and they'll humble themselves if they know that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Democrats, they don't have any power. Republicans, they don't have any power. Our God reigns. Our God is in control. And then David tells us the second thing that God belongs to God, and that's mercy. Look at it. He says, and to you belongs mercy. Mercy. That's how we got saved. Did you know that? God, who is rich in mercy, when we were even dead in trespasses and sins, he has saved us. Amen? Saved us. Oh, thank God that he has saved us, loved one. His mercy is available right this minute. Did you know that our God is the God of all mercy and the God of all comfort? That's what the Bible teaches us. Let me give it to you. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the originator, the source of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Listen, the world can only offer you a counterfeit mercy and a counterfeit comfort. Not real. God says, I'm the God of all comfort, true comfort. I'm the God of all mercy. I love you. Listen, we live in a world, and the lost people, they don't know where to find comfort. They don't know where to find mercy. And they do not have access to the place of mercy. And that is the throne of grace, where we come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and help and grace in time of need. Amen? That's who we are, loved one. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. And here's why. He is our help and he is our shield. He's our protection. Psalm 30, verse 5 and 6. This is a great, great psalm. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. This is a secret, a divine secret about praying. Listen to me now. It says, wait on the Lord. Now, to wait on the Lord is to trust in the Lord. It does not say, wait on the event. It says, wait on the Lord of the event that's going to answer your prayer. Very, very important. And as we wait in faith and trust, we do something. We're watching. We're watching for God to answer that prayer. That's why the psalmist right there, he says, I watch for the morning. What does that mean? Well, before morning, is it dark? Okay, he's saying, I'm waiting for the darkness to go away. I'm waiting for the new day to come, and I know it's coming because God is bringing the answer to my need, the answer to my prayer. Wait, I say, wait upon the Lord. What a word it is for us today. Loved one, listen, there's 1,000 scriptures I could give you right now, but I'm just going to close with one, and that's from Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is he weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God is eternal. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Amen. He knows everything. God doesn't need to learn anything because he already knows everything. And he said here, open your ears now. That's what he was saying. Don't you know, remember what you heard. Open your ears and trust me. Now, listen carefully. What our Father has, now we're his children, what our Father has, when we need it, he gives it. Listen to what it says. He gives power to the weak, not to the strong. He says, I give power to the weak. That means those that are worn out by circumstances, those that are worn out by failures, those that are worn out by loneliness, those that are worn out, just you're worn out. He says he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. You have no strength. It's over. It says he increases your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, meaning those in the prime of life. He says, now here it comes, but those, everyone say but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew means exchange their strength. In other words, I'm weak. God says, here, take mine. And he says, and they'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. God wants to satisfy you this morning. And do you know how God satisfies his children? Not with bad things. He satisfies us with good things. Let me prove it from Scripture. Psalm 103:5, God who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Loved one, only God can satisfy man, no one else. You can be the richest person in the world, but you want more because you're just not satisfied. But God will satisfy you. He does it with good things. The Bible tells us that as we close out this morning, the psalmist says in Psalm 40, he says, I've waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to the broadcast today. Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with another message from God's Word, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.